thank you. If I have to call him from Florida, well, I don't know. God's will. All right, good. Now, suppose somebody tell you, you like a spirit. What would you tell them? Listen, I tell you, you are a spiritual. They say, like, you like a spirit. You know, people maybe don't like it. You like a spirit. Now, listen. If they say, like, you like a spirit, say, yes, I'm not like a spirit. I am a spirit. Yes. Amen? So, see, we're talking about spirits, right? Spirits.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, it's in John 4:24. Our time is, I know our time is going, so I'm gonna quote some of the scripture, maybe some of them won't quote, but, you know, we'll just tell you the truth. Praise the Lord. St. John 4:24 tells us, God is a what?
Spirit.
God is a spirit, and those that what? Worship him. Must worship him what? Spirit and truth. Now, is a spirit a being? Or just like earful thing? It's a being. You know God have a mind?
Yes.
Does God have emotion?
Yes.
Does God have a will?
Yes.
So a spirit is really a person. But an invisible person. Amen? Invisible. You can't see it. Good. Now how about angels? Are they spirits?
Yes.
Come on, angels, are they spirits?
Yes.
What about Satan? Is he spirit? Is
yes.
he a spirit?
Yes.
Yes. I think you should know that. What about evil spirit? Are they spirits?
Yes.
They got evil spirit and they got good spirit in them. Amen? You must be able to differentiate. The angels are good spirits. But evil spirits are evil. You will hear what they name? Evil spirits. How about human beings? Are we spirits?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. Now, let me show you that human beings are spirits. We are really spirits. And we possess a soul. And we live in a human body. Let me give you the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. They say that God is a triune being, and he's a triune being, we also are triune beings also. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, what says it? Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit, you see that? There's one, and soul, number two, and body, be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ come again. Amen? So we are what? Spirit. We are soul and we are body. Our spirit possess our soul and live in the human body. Now what does the spirit give you? Spirit. Alright? What the spirit give you in relation to God, what the spirit give you? God consciousness. What does the soul give you? Do you know man is a complex being? We have to go through this thing with the church again, but I'm giving you maybe what you call it, synoptic. What the soul give you? Alright. The soul give you self-consciousness. And what the body give you? World consciousness. The five senses, right? Man is a complex being. Now, inside the man, there's what we call a self, right? And inside the man also, is what we call the carnal nature. Right? Amen? So here's man now, you have a spirit, you have a soul, you have a body, but inside the man now, the innermost being, there's a self man, which lives in the soul, and then there's a carnal man or a flesh man, living right somewhere in there too. Alright, let's move on. Now in Hebrews 12:23, could you pull this up for me, please? I want to show you God is the God of who? Hebrews 12:23. Alexis, we're not working a little for me today in relation to scripture. I want to move it. Hebrews 12:23. What it says here? You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children. whose names are written where? In heaven. You have come to God Himself, who is the judge of all things. You have come to the spirits. You see there? S-P-I-R-I-T. Spirits who? Of the righteous one in heaven, who have now been made perfect. Come to spirits. You see, you come to spirits because they ain't got body yet. They got to get resurrected body, right? So they're spirits. Scripture refer to God as being the God of all spirits. Right? He created all things, and without Him was nothing made that was made. So, the angels were created by God. Satan was created by God, but not as how he is now. He created the spirit perfect, right? And holy. The fallen angels were created by God, but not like how they are now. Right? And in relation to evil spirit, well, there's different, what is it? What they call it? Different theories to who evil spirits are. Some people believe that they had a race that was here. A race that was here before Adam and Eve, and so there are the spirits that are wrong. They call it the disembodied spirit. Some people believe in what you call the Nephilim. We're learning something about that in Bible study. The Nephilim were those whom the angel and human cohabited, produced a race of being. They call them Nephilim, right? They're giants in the original Bible, said they were giants. Now, their spirits is what some believe to be evil spirits. Anyhow, we want to look primarily at us, human beings, and find out what really happened. So I have to do a little explanation here, right? We human beings are influenced by either God, evil spirit, our own flesh, our sinful nature, or human nature. Now the thoughts that come to you, do thoughts come to you? Do feelings come to you? Does words come to your mind? Where do they come from? You have to find, right? You have to find out now before you express any thought, any feeling, or any word that comes to you. You have to find out the source of them, where they're coming from. Amen. I'm going to read some actual story that happened. And you tell me whether that was of God or not. You know, one time you could, as a believer, I'm talking here about now. One time you could be used of God. The Spirit of God could reveal certain things to you, and you could be used of God. And next, and not very long after that, an evil spirit could influence you to say the wrong thing. I'm going to show you from Scripture just now. Let me reach that part. Now, if you're an unsaved person, right? What is your relationship in relation to demon and evil spirit? You want to know what your relationship? Huh? You know, when I study or look at the human being, I feel sorry for us. I feel sorry for the unsaved. And even some Christians, I kind of sorry for us also because we don't know the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Set you free, right? And some of us don't know. And some things we do, we believe, oh, it might be good or it might be from God. All right. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 2. Let me show you now what how we were being influenced by evil spirit. All right, Ephesians 2, 1 to 2. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, right? When Adam and Eve sinned against God, they became what? Spiritually, they became what? Dead. When it said dead, what means there? Did the spirit died or was it cut off from God?
Cut off from God.
The word death actually means separate, right? Good. You used to live in sin. That's because you had now had the sinful nature. Just like the rest of the world. Obeying who? The devil, the commander of the power in the unseen world. He's the spirit that works in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So, who's the person? We should obey the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. So the devil, in other words, we should be influenced by him. When I say people do some things, wait, man, how could he or she do such a thing? And somebody put it up in the Facebook, It's something you don't want to talk about it. How could this thing be? This man have a 3-year-old daughter. And he's sexually abusing that his daughter, you know, 3 years of age. That look like human. And when they caught him and they put him before the court, he said the girl should be blamed. He's a madman. He's either got demons in him. Amen? How could you do that to your own daughter, the little baby girl? Oh, if you were looking at news Guyanese, now we are Guyanese. No, if you're not Guyanese, well, praise the Lord. But if you're Guyanese, he put a stain on Guyanese now. He come from Guyana, I think they want to deport him. He's going to rape a 90-something-year-old lady, killing shit up. I believe there's a demon. Huh? So when they say we're Guyanese now, people can watch. The man. President Trump mentioned it. Did he mention it? So when them thoughts and them feelings and them words, you got to examine it. What the Bible says? Examine. It's like try the spirit is number one, right? Examine yourself. All kind of thoughts come. That's why it says sorry for us human beings. Because some people don't know. Their eyes have been blinded. And some believers also don't know. So you got to teach them now. So that they know when the enemy coming. Like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall raise up a what? Standard. Amen? Good, so we gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Now I'm sounding a warning of unsaved people. If you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, your doors open wide, so to speak. And you're gonna be influenced by devil, and more so you could be possessed by demon spirits. Amen? Mm-hmm. You know every Christian is supposed to be possessed? Don't you know every Christian is supposed to be possessed by the Spirit of God? If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His, right? And the Bible talks about the Spirit controlling us. I think it's reference to the Spirit. We're being under the control of the Spirit, right?
Amen.
We're not drunk with wine. We're not drunk with wine, wings, excess, but we walk, feel, or be controlled by the Spirit. Now, if you're not a saved person, if you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, I pity you. Just give me Mark. I'm going to try to get this one out. Mark chapter 5 from verse 1. Let's see a man. This man was unsaved. He didn't know Christ as the Savior and Lord. And look what actually happened to him. And if you're a Christian, you're backsliding. What the Bible says, like a dog returning to his vomit. When that one and free spirit come out, right? And he returned back, he brings 7 others. So you're your state is worse than before. It's worse. Your last year, because 7 other demons coming. I don't know how many of them could live with people like that. Now, I could give you a count and a count of how many people that were demon possessed. That man, he was living with my neighbor, just maybe. The man was a millionaire, probably had demons in him. I'm going to pray for him steady. Yep. You see, devil is no respect of power. Doesn't matter what your status in life, how rich you are, how poor you are. All right, let's see now. So they arrive at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasene. All right, next verse. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by what? Evil spirit. Came out from the tombs to meet him. Now this man had what? He was what? Help me, what he was? Now what means to be possessed? What does it mean to be poor? What does the word possess mean? You're taking over, right? Amen? This man was possessed by what? Evil spirit. Amen? Now look, when you get possessed with an evil spirit, what could actually happen? And I'm saying to you, if you're not a Christian, you can be possessed by an evil spirit. What is the purpose of the devil? Steal, kill, and destroy. Look at the next verse now. This man lived in the barren caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackle. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Because why? The evil spirit gave him what? supernatural strength. All right. Day and night he wandered among the burial graves and in the hill, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. What is the purpose of the devil? Steal, kill, destroy. Cutting himself. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to him, and bowed low before him. Who do you think was doing that? Next verse. With a shark, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torment me." I think that was the demon speaking here, right? Let's go to the next verse. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Look at the next verse. Let's go. Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion," because there are many of us inside this man. Many of us inside this man. Amen. Then the evil spirit begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. Next verse. Praise the Lord.
Send us
into the pigs. The spirit begged, "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirit came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down into the steep hill, into the lake, and drowned in the water. Purpose of the devil? Steal, kill. All right. The herdmen fled the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. Look what happened. Praise the Lord. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legions of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. When Jesus came in, what a wonderful change in my heart has been made. When Jesus came into my heart.
Amen.
Amen. The man was clothed. So anyhow, I'm going to get into the part, right? He was clothed in what? In his right mind. He was in his right mind now. So I'm saying if you're not a believer, you're not a Christian, not serving the Lord. I pray people, I can't remember the amongst the people. I just got people out. I don't think that was the best thing to do. I just got people coming to me home. I pray for them demons. One, two of them demons left in the house now. I want them when I went back home, this demon jumped on me like in the bed. And I know it was a demon. I said, "In the name of Jesus, out you go." Like the demon, like they know me, right? They say, "You cast, but I'm coming for you." Possibly, I don't know. Well, praise the Lord. Any person who's a Christian is serving the Lord. You have the power to say, "Jesus, Satan, get the hinge." And they got to go in the name of Jesus. Amen? You gotta be afraid. Don't be afraid of the devil. The devil gotta be afraid of us, not we gotta be afraid of the devil. You know why? The Lord tells us to submit ourselves to God. Do what? Resist the what? The devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. So are you a Christian? Are you serving the Lord? If you are, praise the Lord. Amen. But if you are not, I'm sorry for you. Because if a demon gets into your life, his purpose will be what? To steal, to kill. And some people's life are ruined, wrecked. Not maybe because of them so much, because of the demons that are operating in their lives. Amen? Amen? And they need to, they don't need to be criticized. They need to be helped. Amen? They don't need to be put out in the church. They need to get Christ inside of them. Because those people need help. Amen? They need help. So before I go any farther, I got another part, but I want us to pray this time. I want to give people an opportunity. Don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord. Make sure you receive Him as your Savior and Lord so the other part can apply to you. Make sure you have Christ in your life so when the devil comes in, you'll be able to know, you'll know how to resist him and you'll flee from him. If you don't know Christ as Savior and Lord, say this prayer after me. Dear God, we realize we are sinners. We are very sorry for our sins. Repent of them all. In the name of His Son, Jesus, through the help of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, we believe you came and died for us. You are buried. The third day you rose again from the dead. We believe this with our hearts. We confess it with our mouths. And we ask you now, Jesus, Come in our hearts. Be our saving Lord. Forever. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Alright, so you did the right thing now. If you are not saved. Now if you're saved, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you are a believer, can you be influenced by evil spirit? Huh? And can they lead you astray if you don't know what you're about? All right, let's look at a scripture now. Matthew 16, verse 17. Then you look at 21, 23. All right. Scripture. Amen. This biblical teaching.
Matthew
16, verse 17. This reply. This was when the Lord was asking them, "Who do men say that I am?" Right, and this was Peter replied. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the what? The Son of the." Just go up to verse 16. All right. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." Right? Who do men say I am? You are the Son of God. You're the Christ, I think he said, the Son of the God, King James. Now hear what happened. Saint Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the Living God." Hear what the Lord said now, verse 17. Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being." In other words, this was revealed by the Lord, right? Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Now that was a revelation he got from God. But look what happened to the enemy. Not very far from here now. That's why we got to be careful. All right, look at the next. Look at the art. Let's go to the next verse. "Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Next verse. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be." I will give you the keys of the king of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permitted on earth will be permitted in heaven. Look, go on to verse 21. "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he would be raised from the dead." Next verse. But Peter, not just Peter had a revelation, and the Lord commended him.
Yeah.
You see, Peter now, you know, how long was this? But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such thing. He began to the King James and he began to rebuke Jesus. "Now, Peter, you rebuking Jesus, we don't want to you." Huh? "Reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord," he said, "this will never happen to you." Next verse. Look what the Lord said now. He just turned to Peter and said, "Get away from me, Satan." You see that? God didn't just use him. But who was using him now? The thought, the feeling, what we had didn't come from God, it come from Satan. So when thought, feeling, and word come, you better examine them. See where they're coming from, amen? Try the spirits, whether they be of God. Jesus turned to him and said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God." But just know he's used of God, right?
Yeah.
And now the man yield himself to Satan, apostle, disciple of the Lord, though. And Lord get the hands back and said, suppose I one day turn to you. I watched him tell him. I said, "Get James Bang," he said to himself. You see what the pastor tell me? He can't be Satan. But sometimes spirit is in operation, amen? And God deal with them. So, as a Christian, you got to be careful when thoughts come to you, when feelings, when words, when come to your mind. You got to try the spirits and see whether it be of God, right? Amen?
Amen?
Now, how would you know when a source is from God? Or rather, how would you know when something is of God or not? If the thoughts, the feeling, the word, they come from God, then it will be according to God's word, right? Yeah. God will never contradict his word. Isn't that so?
Amen.
Come on, man shall not live by,
right,
but by? Good. So, the thoughts can either come from God, from Satan, put him under, put him as the head of the fallen demon spirit, from God, Satan, or from right from within us. Amen. Remember, inside of us, we are complex beings. You never accept Christ as the Lord and Savior. In your spirit, God dwells, right? In your spirit, also have the new nature of God. Remember, the Lord said, that which is born in flesh, flesh, that which is born in spirit, spirit, man, not the same thing, must be born again. Inside the spirit is what? The spirit of God, inside the spirit is the nature of God. But right somewhere inside you, I know a part, maybe the soul, there's something called the carnal nature. The spiritual is not something to put your hand upon. It's a spiritual something. And the Bible says the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, right? Adultery, and put a list of things. Well, what the Bible says, they are manifested. So when a person is governed by their flesh, how would you know whether they're governed by their flesh or not? Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. Right? In other words, the things that they do, you'll say, this is not of God. So you can know, right? This is of the flesh. Person living in fornication, living in adultery. Amen? They're dabbling in witchcraft. And anything pertaining to sin, generally speaking, peccating scripts, etc. And such like, rather. Hatred, malice, covetousness, drunkenness. It's the flesh in manifestation of God. Yeah. Amen? And those who do such things should not enter the kingdom of God. And I'm sorry for some people because they don't have control over their, like, they don't have control over their flesh. That is in manifestation. Now, when God is in manifestation, what do you see? Or what you're supposed to see? The fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. This is what you're supposed to see, right? Amen? Amen? So when I watch the person, say, don't judge not to be. Why watching your fruit and I'm going to judge you? If I say a tree and it producing something called orange, I got to say this orange, right? Isn't that so? Yeah. If we're doing guava, say this guava. Yeah. I say this is mango. So when we as attempt to win, right? We're producing the works of the flesh. Then you know what? You're under the flesh right now. You're under the control of the flesh. You're not under the control of the spirit.
Amen.
Because when the spirit is in operation, it's what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. But I got another man inside of us. Oh boy. I tell the man the complex being. He's called self. So who is self? What is this thing we call self? We have somebody that crucify the self. Kill the self. Sorry, if you kill the self, you kill yourself, right? Self in itself is neither bad nor good. Right? It's what you do with self that make it either bad or good. Right? What Romans 6:16 tells us, knowing not to whom you yield yourself, servants obey his servant, you'll be whether of sin unto death or obedience unto right. He says yield yourself, right? So whoever you yield yourself to, that is where you become. Now if you yield yourself to, for example, some people yield yourself to self in this sense that everything they do, they want to be seen. Remember the Lord talk about that? They want to be seen. They pray, they want to be seen of men. They give, they want to be seen of men. They fast, they want to be seen of men. Whatever it is, now if you're doing things along those lines, you have no reward. The Lord didn't call it sin, but he said you wouldn't have no reward in heaven, right? Amen? Because all the reward that you wanted, you get already, you want praise and you want that, you get already, right? That's why he's teaching you over and over. Whatever you do, do as unto the Lord, not unto men. It's good to commend your brother and sister, but if they commend you, what is you all that I want to hear is well done, thou what? Good and faithful servant.
Amen.
That's what you want here. We commend me or you don't commend me, it doesn't matter me. When I stand before God, well, what will I hear? Well done, thou good and what? Faithful. You've been faithful to me. And what a little you did. Do you know God is pay people? You better believe when you do things for God, God is pay you. And he's the best pay one, amen. Do you wonder why many times you don't have any kind of major sickness? You're going out and you're coming in and you're being preserved and nobody and the bullet flying all the place and you don't get accident? You think that happened by chance? It's the Lord who's taking care of you because you are His child, amen? Or you think you're eating and you're wearing and you're having, you think it happened by chance? No, because God said, when you seek first the kingdom of God's righteousness, all these things shall be what? Added to you. Added to you. No matter what part in the world you go. When we were in Ghana, of course, we had our little rough time, but after time, things started getting better. Because we're serving God, amen? You come in America, you see Him, God, you're serving. But Robin, go Florida, you see Him, God, you're serving. Fear not, amen? The Lord said, I fear not. You don't walk through the valley, shall I let down fear no evil, for that word with me, thy readiness have to come. So you gotta watch the devil. You gotta watch the walk or the flesh and self, right? Self. Give yourself to God. Don't give it to sin. Don't make it a slave to sin. Make it a slave to God. Amen? Praise God. All right. Let me just show you how the devil operates. Let me see how I can get through with this and then we'll be over. This man of God was having a vision, right? How Satan attacked Christians and what could actually happen to them, right? He said, we were talking there. In the vision that night, I saw Jesus and heard Him speak to me. I saw in a vision form a woman. I never knew her personally. I had met her one time and had just shaken hands with her. When someone introduced us, I immediately recognized her because I'd heard her sing at the convention. She was the wife of a minister. I saw just like, listen to this carefully, right? Because no devil attack. I saw just like you would see a picture on your television. Jesus narrated the story to me. He said that this woman was His servant. She had part in the ministry. But He said that the devil came. Now here the devil came. Then I saw an evil spirit come. It seemed to come and sit upon her right shoulder and whisper in her ears. Hear if this ever happened to you. She was a Christian. The devil wasn't on the inside of her. He was on the outside. But he worked from the outside and tried to get to the inside. So Jesus on the inside, work on the outside. The devil work on the outside and want to get inside, right? Like a thief. As Jesus narrated the story, He said that this demon told her that she was a beautiful woman. But she had been cheated in life. In the world, she could have had fame and fortune and popularity. He told me that she knew that was the devil. And she said for Satan to get behind her. He said that the spirit left her for a season. What do you think Satan has left you? You coming back again, amen? Amen? I saw it run off and leave her. By and by came back again and whispered into her ears that she was a beautiful woman. He told her again that in the world she could have fame and popularity and wealth. He said that she began to entertain Satan's suggestion. That's the only way the devil can get into your mind. Do you know that? What he did to Eve? He didn't suggest to her. Huh? The only way that the devil is going to be able to get into you is through your mind. Your mind is a door to your spirit. One of the greatest weapons is suggestion. Then the devil suggests to Eve in the garden that the reason God didn't want her to eat of the forbidden fruit was because if she did, her eyes would be open and she would become like God. She followed His suggestion. So Jesus told me that this woman began to entertain the thought that she was a beautiful woman. She liked to think that she was beautiful. If you're beautiful, you're beautiful, then I think you're beautiful, right? Or ugly, ugly. Nice. Amen? The Bible said in Ezekiel concerning the fall of Satan that one thing that happened to him when he fell was that he was lifted up in pride because of his beauty. How many men probably fall for the beauty? Psalm says one of them, right? Maybe Delilah was a beautiful woman. I don't know. Maybe she was beautiful. He told me that she began to entertain these thoughts. She felt that she had been cheated in life. She felt that she had been robbed. She felt that in the world she could have had fame and fortune. Then in the vision, the woman became transparent. Like she was glass And this thing was in her head like a black dot. Jesus told me that at first she was oppressed by the spirit from the outside. She rebuked him at first, but then she began to listen to him and she continued to think his thoughts after him. We are supposed to think God's thought. Amen? Be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. That's through the word of God. Jesus told me that now she was obsessed with that kind of thinking. He said it wasn't too late even then. She was still his child. She knew what to do. She could have put that out of her mind. If she wanted to, she could have refused to think like that. But she wanted to think like that. She desired to think like that. And so, she continued it. If you don't want something, Satan can't make you do it. Amen? You're a child of God. You can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So, she felt her. So, what she did now, after this talk, whatever. She left her husband and left the ministry. Imagine she was a pastor wife, you know. Left the ministry and went out into the world. I asked the Lord what he showed me. Why he showed me this. He said that he didn't want me to pray for her. He said that he was showing it to me to let me know how demons and evil spirits will get hold of people, even Christians. Amen? And believers, if they permit him to. I asked him if he wanted me to cast the devil out of her. She had left her husband and taken up with several different men. He said that finally, she just lived with several men at once. She wasn't satisfied with what? With just one man. He told me that finally, this thing got down into her spirit. It got into her heart. I saw it go from her head down into the inside of her. She began to say that she didn't want the Lord Jesus anymore. She turned her back on him. Before, she hadn't completely turned her back on him. I asked the Lord if he wanted me to cast devil out of her. He said that I couldn't cast it out of her because she wanted it. As long as she wanted it that way, it's going to be that way. Jesus told me that no one, not even he himself, when he was on the earth, exercised authority over human spirit. God himself does not exercise authority over human spirit. He did exercise authority over evil spirit and demons. And any believer in the church could exercise authority over evil spirit and demons. But if the human spirit wants a condition to remain as it is, then there's nothing that we can do about it. We can't cast the spirit out. I asked the Lord if he wanted me to pray for her. He told me, then not even pray for her. That surprised me. That came as a real jerk to me. I never heard of not praying for people. Good. I leave something alone. If I didn't know very much about it, I start preaching. When I was 17, he said, when I first started preaching, all the preaching I does was salvation. I got some more, right? But time's going. But the point I'm trying to make, how did the devil get into this woman and ruin her life? To her mind. Because the mind is what? The doorway. So when you see this spirit of something, you can't help yourself. Amen? What the Bible says, submit yourself to God. Do what? Resist the devil and he will. When the devil came to Jesus, did the Lord resist him or did he entertain what he was telling him? Resist him. Right? So resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen? Resist the devil. Don't let him take control of you. And some people are bound. They have habits. And they're bound by these habits. And sometimes, you see, once you want it, I believe a spirit coming there and take a hold of that habit and make you worse. Amen? But thank God, the Lord has given us power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt us. So I'm trying to get over with this. Listen to this now. The town of Stubbleville, Ohio, was shocked because Frank Holt, a veteran of the Air Force Service during World War II, killed his 5 children with a crowbar, merciless beating and kicking them to death. He says that God told him to kill them so they would not be tormented as he had been for 34 years. He is just one of the many thousand who are hearing voices today. You will admit that God didn't tell him to do this. Did God tell him to do that? And this man was a veteran. Well, you see, when you don't know the word, if he knew the word, you think he would have done that? No, you don't know the word. Kill his 5 children, merciless. A demon actually spoke to him. Amen? And you must be able to discern what is of God and what is not of God. That's why God gave us the word. Amen?
Amen.
Search the word. If you don't know why, think God put ministers. Why think God give us 2 minutes? Or why God give us so much ministry in the church? You don't understand? So we call them up and talk to them. Amen? They might be able to get the scripture and show you, listen, this is what the Bible said. Amen? But you know, generally speaking, people don't want, I'm talking about generally now, people just want, they want to hear whatever they want to do. They want to tell you, why, man, it's okay. No, no, it don't work like them. This is God's word. And everybody, pastor to the ordinary person, this is our standard for living, amen, and working. Man shall not live by bread alone, every word. All right, Pastor Adam is here. I'm going to ask him if he ever had this problem. You know, there are some people, you remember Peter, what Peter was doing? Peter wanted to tell Jesus how he should run things, right? Isn't that so? No. The Lord says, Satan's behind this. Now, when he talked this first time, right, it was of God. When he speaks the second time, it was not of God. I'm telling you generally now, in churches, that's why I said, Pastor Adam here. Do you believe they have some people in church who want to tell the leader, whoever they are, how they should run things? You know that people like that?
Yeah.
Ask them what God wants you to do. Let them know what God wants them to do. But they know what everybody else is supposed to do. That's what people like that in church, Pastor Adam?
Yeah.
The Spirit of the Alibi, bro. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? You find out what God wants you to do. When Paul the Apostle got saved, what he said? Lord, what will thou have me to do? Amen? And do what the Lord called you to do. That's why the people in church, go and tell them, listen, whatever God wants you to do, I'm here to back you. I'm here to back you. I'm here to support you. I don't want to oppress you. I want you to do whatever God wants you to do, right? If God called to be humble, I'm sure that God called to be humble. I can back you. I can support you. Certain things God can't do. I can't be TDJ, sorry, I can't be on that Billy Graham, whoever. It's me. Right? I only can do what I can do.
Yeah.
Me. I can't do nothing else, sorry. I don't have that ability. But I can do whatever God wants. I'm trusting God, but God is my witness. I try to do my best. As I try to do my best. Yeah. It might be the best, but it's my best. Right? This is what God, and I want to do what God can. So I know from scripture, I know from experience too. If you're a person, whether a member or a minister, you need to be a person of prayer. Amen? That's the first thing. Amen? One time, the Lord tell Peter, Satan desire to sift you. But what he said, I have what? Prayed for you. And that is one of the work of a minister. And I don't think it's easy, you know. I believe this is one of the hardest work for ministers to do. They can find themselves and do everything else, but not pray. Yeah? Intercede for your people. Pray for them. Every single day, I pray for this entire church. Every single day. Pray for this church. Same Satan wants to save you. You got somebody standing there for you. Amen? Every single day. That's why the church going on, you know. Because not only me, maybe there are others to be praying.
Amen.
Amen? That God will keep you from falling. And he does keep us from falling. Number one thing, you got to be a man of prayer. Of course, if you go back farther than that, you got to be a man of integrity. Anytime you're aspiring to be a minister, the first thing in your life, first qualification, a man could be a mechanic, could be a doctor, he could be whoever. And live anyhow. All you got the knowledge, you got the experience, right? But to be a minister, yeah, first thing you need is integrity.
Amen?
Amen? You got to be a man who live what you preach and preach what you live.
Amen?
Amen. Amen? And then you got to be a man of prayer. And when I say prayer, I mean prayer. I pray and pray and pray and I believe in God to this now. Do you know that the scripture speaks about, let me paraphrase it. When Zion travailed, Then he bring forth. So they got a prayer called travailing prayer, right? You got to be there now. You got to In other words, you gotta birth people in the kingdom. And to bring them into, to birth them in the kingdom, you gotta travail. You know how women travail? So you gotta travail. So the innermost being, you gotta travail for them. Huh? Then after they get saved, you don't finish yet. You gotta continue to pray and to travail until Christ be forming them. So it's not just travail, not just get them in the kingdom, we gotta travail for them again, travail for them again, until Christ be forming them. Amen? So you think praying is easy? Try it. Go put your knees and pray for an hour or 3 hours. Amen? The Lord said, could you not watch me for 1 hour? They took an estimate. Time is good. They took an estimate in America, I think. Find out how much of a minister pray. Why do you think our church is like how it is today? They said the average minister pray for 5 minutes a day. That's why our church is like how it is now. You see what's going on in the church? 5 minutes, I mean, probably I even get my thoughts together to start.